Hey everybody, it's Eric Balance coming to you with the Resilient Minds podcast, where I feature beautiful entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and experts in their field, where they help us discover their X factor, their experience of life, only to discover how they were able to accomplish and find out their Y factor, their big Y, their purpose in life. So join me as we get to discover the beauty of our minds and how can we really continue to go after the biggest and most wildest dreams while we continue to pursue and manifest our greatest intelligence that comes from the heart. Also, if you haven't, go check out the new alignment course that I've created at www.ericbalance.com/alignment, A-L-I-G-N-M-E-N-T. See you on the show. Welcome everyone to the Resilient Minds podcast. I'm super excited and grateful to welcome a new dear friend, Nathan Kohlerman. Thank you for coming to the show, my friend.
Absolutely, brother. Thank you for having me. So honored.
Bro, it's grateful to meet you. You know, I know that you're doing a lot of things around the world. So where are you living right now?
I'm in Phoenix, Arizona.
Beautiful. And what do you mind sharing, just like, what is your amazing superpower and what you're creating right now in the beautiful?
Yeah, brother. There we go. So my superpower is helping people touch parts of themselves in which they have either lost, forgotten, or rebuked. And currently, I'm really focused on creating felt experiences for other people to access what's already within them, whether that is in the form of an experience or a retreat or a gathering of any sort, really bringing community together, really focused on bringing men together to connect deeper, to support one another in ways in which that we haven't really been taught in today's world. And that's why I'm here and that's what I'm doing right now, man.
Bro, and you're crushing it. You know, it's really connecting to that masculine energy. You know, I think that that's so important for that direction and that focus. I know that so many of us, myself included, had this misconstrued understanding of what masculine energy needed to be as I was growing up, you know, like super capable, super willing, super excited. And then it like was like this patriarchal misrepresentation of what it means to be a man really fucked with me, bro. You know, it really fucked with me. It really took me to a place of dark and it was something that I know that is super important to rebalance. And thankfully, you know, I figured it out and I'm still making a lot of mistakes, by the way. But oh, yeah. I think that... And I think that, but this is something that I think is so needed in the world. So let me ask you a question. You know, I always ask, you know, why our X factor is like, is the why behind our Y factor. It's like, it creates our Y. And our experience being our X factor is what has allowed us to like cultivate into this big purpose that we have. And so do you want to share with me what was kind of like the maybe an experience or experiences that were like that breaking point that helped you say, hey, like, fuck, I need to wake up.
Mm-hmm. There were several moments. And yeah. I want to say, you know, and this, I've shared this story before, but, you know, that first time that I realized I really had a problem, right? It was rock bottom. And I remember Christmas break, my senior year of high school. And my mother and sister sat me down and said, if I didn't stop what I was doing, I was going to wind up dead or in prison. And at that time, I was deeply addicted to heroin. I was immersed in gang culture and what you're speaking to in these like patriarchal, distorted views of what masculinity is, what tribe is. And that was a moment that I realized, wow, the things that I'm doing are actually inherently not widely accepted or praised by society. And it was the first moment in which I questioned, what am I really here for? Why am I constantly put in these situations to either abuse or be abused? And what are my options? And that's when I chose to enlist in the military. And that's when I signed the papers before I'd turned 18 and headed off about a month after that. And the other distinguishable point, which really led me down a deep path of healing, is when back in 2018, my ex at the time had left me. I came home and everything was out of the apartment. And I remember quite vividly how painful that was. And again, the question came to my mind is, well, what am I doing here? And why can I not sustain, or why can I not keep people in my life? Because it was like recycling at that point, right? People would come and go and come and go and come and go. And there was never a continuous source of connection that helped me feel or allowed me to feel deeply fulfilled in why I'm here and what I'm here to offer and who I can impact along the way. And I felt as though I was negatively impacting everybody in my life. And that's when I realized I wanted to impact people at a deeper level, at a more purposeful level, and at a more connected level. So that way I could have people in my life. I could have that sense of belonging and feel that real authentic connection, in which now that's over the last several years has been a huge focus. And also in that time of being alone in that apartment, not knowing how to take care of myself, not knowing how to love myself, not knowing if I really wanted to be alive or not. And I wanted to seek things and do things and be the person who wanted to feel alive in every moment. You know what I mean?
I think that that's the biggest thing, is like when you realize as an individual that the only person you ever really wanted to be was yourself. And like everything that had happened in your life is like the reason that you are here today. It gives you great faith. It gives you great belief. It allows you to integrate this true understanding of why the fuck you're here to really create. And I believe as creators, we have to go through those deep, deep moments of hell in our life. Because otherwise we don't, we, again, this is just from my own experience. Doesn't mean that it's correct, but based off of my own experience, same thing, you know, I was a drug addict, crack, cocaine. And that level of like rock bottom now allows me to have so much more compassion, but also tremendous strength in the ability to, when I'm challenged, to say, hey, no, this is not correct, or you're projecting, or no, this is really deep in my heart, like please back off, or whatever the case is. And it gives this like focal anchor point as a man, I believe, because it gives us the humility to stay quiet when we need to, right? To learn how to listen, to understand, to pay attention, but then also the sheer determination of communicating forward when we're in our passion, in our fire, in our heart. And I believe for myself that this was the experience that going through these rock bottom moments in our lives has allowed us to cultivate a new level of paradigm, a new level of wisdom that we can then therefore listen to each other and truly fucking see and pay attention to spirit speaking through you as you, and vice versa. Because we get to now see each other's mirrors.
Absolutely. And even to what you're speaking, I totally, number one, agree, and also relate in a really profound way. And it's also how I've mentioned people, it's the walking bullshit detector, right? Because it's like people who have experienced deep addiction, and which is an active numbing process, right? Someone who has experienced an active numbing process to that degree understands what pain is actually underneath it. And it's those rock bottom moments and that level of humility, which exposes the ability to also see that in other people as the reflection that you're speaking, which helps us and empowers us to be really powerful leaders, right? In the terms of holding space for others and being able to really handle and have a grasp on the extremes. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but people who come into my field, right, are the ones who are willing to go to those extremes, right? And it may seem very cathartic, but it's so beautiful when it's witnessed and when it's unleashed and it's expressed to the fullest potential. And that realization, right, of who am I really starts to come through, because that pain, what you're speaking to, becomes the portal, right, of that self-expression. And it allows us to move into this life with greater and deeper purpose. It's so beautiful, right? And that's, you know, why I truly believe like addiction can be a gift if you move through it, right? Just like the fire, right? The fire within is also the fire externally. You can't go above it or below it or around it. You got to go through it, bro. You got to walk across those coals and you have to move through it with the determination and the intensity of wanting better, wanting more, wanting it all.
And being willing to lead in that capacity, because I think too, there's these times, bro, and I've expressed it multiple times, because it's like, sometimes you feel, again, I'm going to go back to me. Sometimes I felt unworthy of like, wow, am I capable of doing this? Like, I'm just trying to figure out as I go, you know, like nobody's giving me a fucking blueprint of what needs to happen next. I'm just trusting in what like spirit is guiding me towards. Right. And for me, this has become the deepest understanding, the deepest within understanding to say, hey, I really want to, there's a deeper knowing, you know, there's a deeper knowing that it like, I know that I need to do this, or I know that I need to say this, or I know that this is the next step, and I'm going to trust that spirit is guiding me through this next phase of my life.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that deep trust and that surrender to the not knowing, right? Even too. That's at least been my experience is, I don't know shit that's about to happen, but my body feels like it's a fuck yes, even though my mind's like, I don't know. So we're going to do this and we're going to see what happens. And that is spirit divinely guiding us, right? And learning to have faith and trust in the divine and source consciousness being able to flow through us freely in a way that is for not only our best good, but for the collective's best good as well, and what we're here to contribute as our role as leaders.
Yeah. And I think, this has been the last few weeks, especially since I just finished the retreat here. And it was such a super success, bro. Mm. And something that like every day I was learning new things as I was like delivering them. And it was freaking me out at first, like, fuck, how am I going to figure this out? And then it just turned out to be amazing, you know? And I think that this is the greatest opportunity is like really trusting. And when you make that commitment to follow through and just create it.
Yeah. Congratulations on that, by the way. I was really hoping I was going to be able to make that. Yeah. And there will be more. So I'm super excited.
Yes, we're going to make them together, bro. It'll be fun.
Yeah, man.
Yay! And,
dude, I know exactly what you're talking about, too. It's like that commitment, right? And it's not just a verbal commitment, right? It's like a full body commitment. It is a, like that deeper knowing we keep coming and coming back to is that, like when that is there, right? There's not much that will waver us off that path, right? And then that commitment, that deep trust just allows that creational process to come through organically, right? And it's like, yeah, we have an idea of what these things look like, but like, we don't really know how it's going to go. But to be fully open to the process is such a beautiful thing. So I'm celebrating you and your experience and your leadership. And it's deeply admired, man. Truly.
Love you, brother. It means a lot to me, man. It really does. And I can't wait to learn from, you know, doing things together and learning from great leaders like you to know what else is possible, or things that, you know, how can I do better or create more or differently, you know, like these are the things that are exciting too, because I really feel like a student of life, you know, just constantly figuring things out, playing on this amazing playground. And so I guess my question to you is this. I really have, I have tons of questions, but I can talk about things so much so I can sidetrack. But bro, so as you've kind of discovered and you've gone through these like deeper processes of like hitting rock bottom and stepping through and now like really serving and supporting masculine growth, how many times have you been kind of like, I don't want to say punched in the face, but figuratively punched in the face with like people telling you that, hey, like you can't do this or you shouldn't do this or who do you think you are? And basically people telling you that what you're not true because they're projecting that on you, but not rather than you just knowing, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, man, I have been confronted with this several times. And I remember the first time it actually happened, you know, because I started, you know, the quote unquote healing work and somatic work in the form of movement and, you know, having a background in biomechanics and having a background in physiology and, you know, neurophysiology and understanding, right, the human locomotion system and how we did learn and develop and move as children and where along the way we became lost. And I remember a physical therapist reaching out to me on Facebook Messenger, of all things, saying, you're not a doctor. You shouldn't be saying that you're doing rehabilitation techniques and this, this, that, and the third. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, this is number one, it's so random. But number two, I had for the first time had like started doubting myself and questioning like, well, am I not supposed to be doing this when I actually have the tools that can help people? Right. I was like, and then the process that followed after that was how dogmatic and how kind of fucked up it was really to have that level of insecurity to question myself in the capacity that I had to serve, knowing I was helping people, but still feeling like it wasn't enough. And, you know, even now, you know, we live in a society where these degrees and these, right, acronyms at the end of people's names is kind of like the gold standard, right? And I don't necessarily agree. I feel as though, right, we all innately have the ability to heal within us. Exactly. So to feel or to think that we cannot guide others and some processes that allow them to unlock that from within, to me, it doesn't quite make sense. And of course, there are specific parameters, which, yeah, if you're a doctor, you probably shouldn't be poking people with needles. You probably shouldn't be, right, doing some of these things. But again, that's still up for question because there are certain traditions and certain cultures that, right, use needles without a license, right? You have tattoo artists who use, right, needle and hammer, right? It's not like they need a license. They are specifically trained by people who are very wise and impart these skills upon those, right? There's no certification or degree for the Temescal to, right, host lodge, right? Even though that could also be a very quote unquote dangerous situation due to extreme heat circumstances. So I've always been at question with the actual structure that we're given. Is it truly effective and does it actually facilitate enough spaces for others to heal or to discover their own healing? And I feel like that's been a huge part of the process is you can't do this because you're not a therapist or not a psychologist or not a licensed in X, Y, and Z. So I started asking the questions, well, what's the loophole? And there always is. And there always is in terms of legalities. But that's what I've always been confronted with was society's expectation and the dogmatic judgment that comes down because of a lack of education or lack of certification.
I think that there's even deeper. It's like, for example, I never understood money. I never understood it. I was a kid and I felt so fucking abundant. My dad would give me 20 euro and we would be somewhere and I would give it away to like somebody that was sitting there like on the street needing money. Because I felt abundant. Comes from a place of loving, of true family, of seeing each other as equal. Knowing that we all have different roles and experiences to life. And this societal term of creating greed and money and power has been so focused on this disparity that's created so much based off of war and struggle, propaganda. And it's something that I believe is about to come to its fucking knees.
Absolutely.
And I'm actually really excited about it because I also believe in the creation of real abundance, of bringing, you know, the kingdom of heaven to earth. You know, like bringing fucking all of us as angels, as tradition, like really, really, really grounding heaven in the planet and understanding that we are here to bring life's balance, which is healing the water, amplifying the sanctuary within ourselves to ultimately understand that heaven is right fucking here. This is real abundance, you know, and I always felt that inside. And discovering how important that the stories we've been told ourselves by the system has been to limit our ability to really understand who the fuck we really are. You know, these Walt Disney movies, they've allowed children to believe in themselves. And this is what kept me going, like in so many different capacities, is remembering these triggers, these seeds that were planted when I was a little boy. Because I'm still a little boy. And so how can this system that is coming to its knees, because I believe it's happening sooner rather than later, really soon. How do you feel as men and wisdom for our future generations, because we're here to be responsible for the next generation. I mean, you have beautiful children. You have a third one on the way. And I really feel like the only thing that I want to do is how can I leave any relationship or the world better than when I found it? So what conversations do we need to have with our brothers and our sisters to help them see that heaven is for real and it's happening right in front of your open fucking eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. And this is actually something I was recently discussing as I'm preparing to actually talk about this exact same subject for a TED Talk. And yeah, man. And it's a conversation on sovereign leadership, autonomous from the system, and this downfall that we're speaking of, it's right in front of us. It's just hidden behind the media, right?
Yeah.
And anyone who can see past that can also see that what I spoke to in this speech I'm preparing is that it requires integrity to leave a legacy, right? To leave every relationship and everything in which we once found in a better place, and to set up future generations for success, and not the success that society or the structure determines, but the success of our overall well-being and the ability to interrelate and co-regulate with the communities that are contributing to the cause. And if we are not taking radical fucking ownership, yeah, over our part to play, right, in what we see with the oceans, what we see in society, what we see in spiritual capitalism, what we see in medicinal capitalism, plant medicine capitalism, we see that we are quite literally performing debauchery in all these places, in all these different spaces, and it's taking away from what nature has to offer, what true nature has to offer. And we are now creating these augmented realities to compensate for our lack of responsibility. It takes radical fucking ownership. And in order for us, right, to rise as leaders, right, and anyone listening to this is a leader, it requires us to own our shit. Own our shit first, take responsibility, and then not just lead by example, but set the standard along the way.
Defy the odds.
All odds. Defy all fucking odds.
Yeah, bro. This is music to my ears because I really feel the same way. And you know, it's like these rules that are set, right? Around COVID or all these bullshit, like, you know, fears that are propaganda that has been continued to you know, manipulate fear in the micro and macrocosms of our planet, and discovering how much fear there still is based off of a like it blows my fucking mind, bro, how much fear people have of life. They fear death so much that they forget to live life. They're focused more on focusing on the experience of life and the support that they can have to create fucking life. This to me blows my fucking mind. Why so many individuals are focused on feeling like they have to die in order to live? Why don't they remember what life fucking is? Why don't they remember what it means to like look at a child in the eye and see their like kindness, their sweetness, their innocence, and remember that that's them inside, that that's who they are. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Bro, your passion and your hope for humanity is deep. I can sense that so deeply right now. Like, I feel that because I've asked myself the same questions, and at least in my experience, and to stand in the embodiment of knowing rather than always seeking to understand, I've had to come to realize that that's all they know right now. And that's still okay. And that's their path, not to bypass that in any way. And I can still use my voice to impact those who are listening, right? Because even though there's so much fear in the world, right? What that tells me is that people are watching, people are listening, people are searching for a feeling that seeks completion. And that gives me a greater knowing and a greater hope for humanity, knowing that people are still searching. People are still, yeah, maybe turning on the TV and watching the news, but at least they're getting out of bed. Maybe. They're still going to work. They're still playing the game, which gives me greater hope, knowing that they're still taking their steps. And it's only time until they step upon our porch and they come knocking at the door and say, I need help. I want help. What is my part to play? How do I support? What can I contribute? And what is the difference we're all here to make? And I feel like the more that message is more open and receptive to receive is when we're going to start seeing that cataclysmic change and the downfall comes. And then the echoes of the buildings and the structures that are lit on fire will be heard. It will be seen. And rather than people looking at these buildings on fire with fear, they're going to see hope. I feel like it's going to be a much different experience than what we have ever seen in history.
I agree. I'm excited.
Yeah.
This is gonna be great. I love it, brother. You're so beautiful, man. Like, so beautiful.
Likewise, brother. Likewise.
It's so funny. Like, the world is our playground. You know, like, the world is our playground. Love is our legacy. Let's have some fucking fun while we create some change. You know, like, this is the most exciting part. If we all look at this whole planet as our big, like, playground or our big castle, you know, like, fuck, like, how fun is that? How fun is that?
Absolutely, man. Hide and seek in every building you go into and right? climbing on every tree like a monkey. Like, come on.
Nothing better, bro. Nothing better. Nothing better.
No. And that's something that has really been on my mind a lot. And I don't know if this has been something you might have been experiencing too. And I think this is why I've been more called to serve in spaces of leadership rather than quote unquote healing. Because there's almost this calling that I'm feeling right now, specifically in my life, and what we're speaking to is more play, more rest, more joy, more enjoyment,
yeah.
right? Cultivating and integrating all of these lessons, right? All these healing lessons as the opportunities to bring greater joy and happiness and play into our lives, to come really back into nature, to come back into our God self, our child self, our father and mother self that fully integrate and allow us to really see the world as our playground. Right? That's for me personally, just what I've been stepping more into, because anytime that I'm like focused on the work, right, there's just this density right now. And I feel like that's where the collective energy is shifting us towards, is towards more play, more adventure, right? More connection, right? With other people, right? Who are at our wavelength, who are at our similar vibration, right? Me and you right now. Yeah. It's going to be good. It's going to be really good. I'm excited. I'm excited for what's to come.
Yeah, dude, I think the wavelength and the vibration that you're speaking of is something that allows safety too for females, for example, right? Like the feminine force, the feminine energy, this understanding of brothers, right? Like even being able to laugh and then like pause and just be present, you know, like, and then be able to like just be there like for each other, you know? This is not normal when I was growing up. Like it would be awkward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and allowing this like state of grace to come through us and just be paused in the moment and like say, hey, like I see you, I understand you, thank you, you know, like wow, you know, you're like such a beautiful mirror. And then allowing also like this like creation of trusting in our like most beautiful beloved like feminine energies that they come through us, like, you know, like I love beauty. You know, like I love beautiful, gorgeous, beautiful experiences, but I'm so in love with beautiful women. Like I love it. But what's even more beautiful is when you find a beautiful woman that has beautiful energy and we can hold them and caress them and love them and be so sweet to them. Right? Like to me, I think that this is the new paradigm. It doesn't need to be about, like, I used to be married and I really, like, it didn't work out because I was super curious. I was super curious about, you know, the world. I was super curious about what else is out there in the world, like in regards to my passion, my purpose. And I don't know if I'm ever going to get married again because I'm so curious about like a different experience in the present moment. You know what I mean? And it doesn't need to mean that you know, I sleep with 1,000 women. It means that I can be present to each one specifically in that moment based off of the experience that we're having and the way that we get to play and enjoy. And it's so fucking fascinating to me because this is like a whole new level of consciousness and sexuality that is unfolding to understanding, hey, like we get to be the sovereign individual as a man or a woman the sacred feminine and sacred masculine is within us, and together inside of us, we develop the sacred union that we can actually show up full to every relationship and make a decision if we want to be in that present moment sexually, consciously, emotionally, romantically, whatever. And this, I believe, is what allows us the freedom necessary to really allow ourselves to live the life that we want to live. I think it's the most beautiful thing. It's like, to me, it's like a fairy tale. Mm. Yeah. And I also know that there's deeper connection that you develop the more that you spend time with one person. However, what if, and this is a question I would love to ask you because you know better, is what if those relationships were like regularly around you, you had these types of relationships regularly around you that were so cultivated and so meaningful that it almost felt like you've built this deep connection with just like the one person, but with multiple people. I'm curious.
Yeah. And I personally have never really experienced that to where it's always been present, right? Which is, you know, when you speak to curiosity, me very much like you, right? Again, beautiful mirror. Thank you. Uh-huh. You know, I was married at a young age too. And I was curious to what else was out there and who I was. And there was a lot of ego to it, of course, just as anything is, because it's always there. And I've observed this in many forms, right? And this is something that I've actually been looking at within, you know, in my own challenges and evolution through what I would put in a box as like sex, love, relationship addiction, right? And that's where a lot of my work is. And seeing the patterns show up is actually what you're speaking to is the root, right? It's how or what do these connections look like to where it can always be around me, but also within me, right? As within, so without. And what is lacking within me to actually cultivate that, right? Because if that were possible, right, to have all of these experiences and all of these connections and all of these relations at one time, then I don't feel like there would ever be such a thing as like marriage, right? I think that would be returning back to, right, our archaic roots, right, to where it takes a tribe to raise a child. And I feel like that tribe mentality and that tribe, you know, connectivity, right, the relational components of the tribe would actually be more conducive towards like pure, authentic, genuine love, you know. And there's always going to be the human condition and conditionality, right, of love and what that, you know, comes with, right, in regards to a relationship with that one person where the connection is cultivated over a long period of time. But to have all of those, right, at one time, honestly, man, that honestly sounds like a fairy tale to me. and it is possible. It is possible, I believe, right, if cultivated in the right community.
Yeah.
Right. I believe it is possible. Yeah. When we'll all be there, I have no idea. I'm still figuring my shit out, you know, to understand, you know, and there are a lot of people coming into my life right now, right? You being one of them, that are cultivating that sense of relativity, connectivity, and intimacy beyond my own simple understanding of what I was taught in my own sexual nature or sensual nature. And it's beautiful to see the evolution of it, right? And I think that's what I'm speaking to here is the shift is coming to that. And it is going to require what we were speaking to earlier, the collective shift, right? The mass awakening to the possibility that actually exists. And we don't have to keep putting love and relationships and sex and gender and energy in a box. Right. Just as we cannot put God in a box.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. I love that. Yes. This is exactly what the experience is. And this is why, to me, this is so important, because community can be a family, and a family can be a community. And in fact, when you put anything in a box naturally just wants to like express and like get out. And to me, the biggest, the ladies downstairs are laughing. See, like, it's like they know, like they know what we're talking about. To me, this is like, it doesn't fucking exist. Like, they are so all amazing, and there's men and women, and everyone is here, family, you know, and we're okay with like giving each other a hug and a kiss and like being super communicative and here to support each other, the same vision and the mission and the experience. And we continue to create. You see, we continue to create in a way that is so important, because it's our responsibility to call. And it doesn't need to be in restriction. It needs to be in expression.
Mm.
I think that once we create restriction, is that we limit the foundational component of how important expressive behavior allows us to cultivate new paradigm shifts, because we're not willing to listen. Mm. And to me, that this has been my life. It's been like, what? I would always question my dad. I would always ask questions. But I would be like, Dad, why? Or Mom, why? But you know, like that curiosity. And I'm still like this. And the biggest thing that happens now is that when people are out of integrity and I question them, I can sit there and hold space in a compassionate way or a strong way. But because integrity is such a high value, and unconditional love is such a high value of mine, now it's like I've developed enough trust with so many people, because to me, it's like how it's not just about what I say, it's about how we be. So how can we all be, and Nathan, this is a question for you, brother. How can we all be more in integrity?
It requires us to acknowledge that it all comes back to God. I believe that is what is required. And that sounds like a very esoteric, right, etheric thing to say. And it's also quite simple. That no matter what belief anyone holds, when everything comes back to God, universe, source, spirit, the name of a thousand names, we remember that it's not just about us. It's much greater. And the things happening in the world and the things to happen in the world are going to require a deep faith that something, someone, a higher energy source or power already has a plan, and we simply need to submit and acknowledge our role. And that takes a level of acknowledgement and radical fucking ownership.
I love you.
I love you, bro.
Yeah, this is you're so beautiful, brother. This is so exciting. I'm so grateful. You're such a brother in arms, you know, like brother with heart. It's exciting. It's exciting to come together, and it's exciting to know that for so long, bro, I felt like I was alone, you know.
In dude, this, like, I know.
Ah.
Fuck, I know.
Yeah.
Likewise, brother. I mean, it's You know, it's that brotherly, right? It's that battlehood, right?
Yeah.
I just started using that, right? Instead of brotherhood, it's like battlehood, right? It's like assimilating the brothers who are literally going to go to battle.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like you go to battle alone, like you're fucked. You know, and we can't do that anymore. I mean, we can, but we're going to learn
We do it with love and compassion and sweetness and integrity, but still that fucking fire of strength.
Yeah. Exactly. Absolutely.
Bro, it's such a breath of fresh air to know that, you know, we're so close now. I feel like I've known you forever.
Bro, many, many lives. This is another chapter. I'm so looking forward to whatever comes. I'm fucking ready for it. I'm here for it.
Yeah, dude. We need to get you and the Sacred Sons over here, bro. Like, we need to create some magic all together. You guys are doing incredible work, man. And I honestly, having us create all together in co-creation something so beautiful and expressive to the gates of heaven here, to, you know, Esvedra, to different venues, you know, how going through different ceremonies and celebrations and dancing and laughing and just being. You know, we can go to, there's this beautiful place behind my house, like called Beridas Beach. It's called the Hand of God, the rock that I've swum to. And it literally has like this, it's been like, they call it the Hand of God or the King's Rock. And it's been like there for, I mean, it's been there forever, but it's got 27 meters above water and 27 meters below water. So it's completely in balance.
Oh shit.
Yeah. So like we could do like a huge like swim out there and swim back. We could do like so many like deep divings. We could do like some challenging fucking amazing things all over the island. This place is a playground for us, bro.
This place is a playground. Absolutely. I'm already there. I can,
yeah,
I
dude.
Can feel my body's already there.
And we live for this stuff. We want to like fucking challenge ourselves, go horseback riding, do cool things, you know, like, and let's really bring, you know, heaven to earth here, bro. And let's make it happen. Let's do it together. Let's create. I'm really excited. I'm really excited. Yeah. And, you know, I know we'll talk more offline, but bro, you're always welcome here. You always have a home here. You always have a place to stay. I honestly admire, love, and really respect the work that you've been doing, because I know that the depths of the work I've been on, and I know that it's important. It's so fucking important. And for not just for us, but to hold for our future generations, for our children, and our children's children, to change the new levels of the game. And so I just want to just let you know that. And last but not least, before we finish off, because I know the time is cutting short. If anybody, first of all, needs to get a hold of you or find out more of what you're up to, where's the best place they can connect with you?
Yeah. Thank you, brother. They can connect with me pretty much any social channel at Nathan Kohlerman. I mean, if you have social media, just search my name. I'm probably on one of those. And my website's getting redone. Should be done by the end of the month. Brand new design, new offerings, and that'll be newintention.com. It's NEU intention.com.
Beautiful. And last question, if you had 3 days left to live, what would you do?
I'd see my kids, and I would be fully fucking present with them. I would take them on walks. I would take them to the water, and I would truly return back to the nature of my own child and learn from them as I live the rest of my days on earth. Thank you, brother.
Bless your heart, brother. Thank you so much for this. I appreciate your kindness, your sweetness, your presence.
Thank you, brother. It was an honor. Appreciate you. So much love for you, man. I know this will not be the last nor the first.
We got so much to share.
Hey, everyone, and thank you so much for listening to the Resilient Minds. I hope you enjoyed the show. Please make sure to go comment and like and follow us on iTunes or Spotify. And make sure, please make sure that if you really love this, to share this episode. And make sure that you're inviting all your friends to like it as we continue to unfold what the beauty of our minds does. More importantly, how powerful our heart level of intelligence can be when we combine our heart and our brain together. And more importantly, check out the alignment course that I've created. It's seriously there for you to take advantage of at www.ericbalance.com/alignment. See you on the next show.